It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling.
Hello and welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition today. I am Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist. Dar has the day off today, so hopefully she's relaxing. And I just really want to thank all of you for listening today. And hopefully what we cover today, you will pick up some great things to start to implement into your life. And because that's really what we're about, giving people information that they can make changes in their life. I know Dar likes to say we're change makers. You know, so often in the world of healthcare, you know, the different health concerns that people deal with often are really viewed as single issues, each one being separate from each other. And today we're going to talk about cardiovascular health. And, you know, as we talk about it, we really want to help people understand that it is not an isolated health issue and that all you should do is just focus on getting that blood pressure and cholesterol down. And you can feel fine if you've got them controlled with medication. So we're really going to give you some other things to start to look at and really look at your health, you know, as we always do, as a whole piece. And to help me talk about this today, I have with me Cassie Wienis. Cassie is a registered dietitian, and she's one of our nutritional counselors and educators. Cassie sees clients now mostly in Wayzata, which is a little bit of a change with a move that she's had.
Yes.
And along with some Saturdays at our St. Paul office. And I know this is a topic that she is very knowledgeable about and has helped numerous clients with their cardiovascular health. So, hi, Cassie.
Yes. Hi, Christina. It's good to be back doing radio with you. This is a topic I'm familiar with and unfortunately have it on sort of both sides in my family. My dad has a history of heart disease in his family, and then I see it too in my husband's family. So it hits close to home.
Right.
And we know that it really takes a holistic approach to be successful in reducing the symptoms and the risks of a major cardiovascular event, such as a heart attack or a stroke.
That's right. And I know, I don't think I have much heart issues in my family, but I know my husband certainly does. And it's scary, you know,
yep.
So we want to do something about it. You know, when you think about your cardiovascular system, it's made up of a very large network of blood vessels that span through your whole body and your brain. And actually about a week ago, my husband and I were at the Science Museum for the Star Wars exhibit. And it was actually my first time at the Science Museum, which is funny. I mean, the new one, since I'm such a science person, but it was, you know, they have that whole heart area and they've got the big vessels flowing through and you can feel it pumping. And if that's not working well and there's things in there clogging it up, you're going to have problems.
See where, your health would really start to go downhill.
Yeah, so that's a good visual. So think of those things if you've been to the Science Museum, and I know they have pictures of all the vessels through your body. And, you know, in our classes, when we meet with people individually, we really like to help people think about cardiovascular disease as a blood vessel problem, because that is usually where the problems begin, is something going wrong with some of your blood vessels, your arteries, usually.
Absolutely. And when people are not intentional about taking care of their health, they can begin to cause damage in those blood vessels. Usually this damage causes inflammation and breakdown of the walls of the blood vessels. And what happens, and what a lot of people don't realize, and I love your example, Christina, of the Science Museum because of the visual part of it.
Right.
I'm such a visual learner. A lot of times when I have clients in, I'll just draw a blood vessel, and I'm not a very good artist, but draw the blood vessel, show them that there's basically some inflammation going on, which can cause cracks, in very simple terms, in your blood vessels. So what happens, the body starts to put out cholesterol to repair or to patch those walls.
Right. And I know an example that we use too in our classes, so for those of you who have taken our classes, is the whole issue of scurvy. And, you know, that was where they didn't have any vitamin C, so they got extreme cracks in their blood vessels where they just started bleeding out. And we like to call today what's going on is more of a modern version of that. That isn't quite severe, but those cracks that you're describing.
Exactly. And so the body tries to repair itself.
Right.
And so what it does usually is puts out more of the LDL, or what we think of as the bad cholesterol, because God didn't put that in our body for no reason. That is our repair mechanism. So when you go to the doctor and you get that high number, or that high LDL, rather than just thinking, oh my gosh, I have to lower that, maybe we should step back and say, well, what is causing my body to have to do this repair. Maybe I should fix the damage and that LDL number will come down on its own.
Right. Yes. And it's possible. We see it happen. And, you know, it sometimes can be a scary situation to try and figure that out. But just we like people to know that there are options. And sometimes it just means changing your diet because you're putting too much stress on your liver, which we're going to talk about some of the foods that cause your liver to produce the cholesterol. So, you know, if that inflammation and those cracks and the breakdown and wear and tear really continues on, or the deposits start to grow, you know, as it patches up, things start to stick to those patches. And that's where we get those bigger pieces of plaque that get in the way of the blood flow.
Right, right. Sometimes, and I don't know, maybe you gave me this analogy, I'm not sure where I heard it, but sometimes I describe it as, you know, think of floating down the Apple River or whatever river on your inner tube. And if you have a patch on your inner tube, as you go along throughout the day, you know, that's a raised surface, you start to pick up some seaweed or, you know, some other junk that's in the river.
A little dirty.
Yeah. Same thing can happen in your blood vessel. You have that raised part that's been patched and things begin to stick to it, like fatty deposits or calcium, and then the plaque develops.
Right. And then it really can just be a matter of time before something major can happen where you have a big scare.
Yeah, and we were just talking in the break room about Tim Russert. I think that's been a couple of weeks ago now.
Right.
That was a big shock, his death. I think his family was probably very surprised because anything I heard, he wasn't dealing with any heart disease.
He had recently passed a stress test and was managing cholesterol and blood pressure.
Yeah, so it just kind of came out of the blue. But what his doctor did describe later on the Today Show, you know, after the death, they had his doctor on, and he talked about how the lining of his artery burst because cholesterol had deposited underneath that first layer of his artery, of the lining of his artery. And so when that burst, then that blocked the blood flow and caused a heart attack.
Right. So unfortunately, something must have still been causing his vessels, or for any of us, that inflammation, which was slowly causing damage and really breaking down that inner lining of the blood vessel. So if the risks start with inflammation in the walls of our blood vessels, I think it would probably be important for us to understand what we need to do to prevent that inflammation and to really keep our blood vessels healthy so we're not having those ruptures or the cracks and the lesions that are causing the patching.
Right. So on that note, you know, a test that we often recommend people to have, well, a couple of them, C-reactive protein. If your doctor's going to do a blood lipid test anyway and look at your cholesterol levels, you could ask him to do C-reactive protein as well. That will tell you your level of inflammation. So you kind of know, you know, what you need to address. Another good one is homocysteine.
Right. And that's something that if you are someone who comes from a family of a lot of heart disease, that is oftentimes a test that's really recommended to get tested because sometimes that is the link between the family genetics. And it's just something that gets produced in the breakdown of protein. And for people who are deficient in B vitamins, specifically B6, B12, and folic acid, something breaks down in that whole digestion of the proteins, and it stops at what's called homocysteine, which is very can be very damaging in the body.
Right, right. And like you were saying, that can be the genetic piece, but it's so easy to address. If we just know that homocysteine is high, we target it with the right combination and the right level of B vitamins in supplement form, and you got it.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to be proactive about getting these blood tests done because, you know, it really just depends on the physician. Some do these just, that's what they do, like C-reactive protein, it's a normal part. In other clinics or labs, it's just not a normal part of their testing. So sometimes you really have to ask, and if it's something you feel strongly about, I would make sure that you can get it done.
It's your health, right?
Yep.
And you're paying for it, so ask for it.
So as far as food, since that's what we're
that can be a cause of inflammation.
Yes. You know, what we eat does matter. You know, a lot of times, especially with the area of cholesterol, of people that are sitting in my office and say, well, you know, I was told that it's what I'm eating really isn't going to make that much of a difference, so I have to be on this medication. And sometimes their cholesterol really isn't even that high.
Or, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Or they've been told, if they are told to address diet before they go on a medication, maybe we'll get into this a little bit later, but then the doctor usually says, okay, try low fat and stay away from the saturated fat. Never puts any limit on the amount of carbohydrates. Go try that for a few months.
Yeah.
they come back and they think, oh my gosh, gave it my best shot for me. You know, diet's not going to change it.
Right. So that's where, you know, if your doctor tells you, yes, work on your diet, then seek out someone who that's their specialty.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
So, and when you're looking at what you're eating, there are a few key foods that we touch on. And again, this is, you know, how certain things affect all areas of our health. I know we talk about trans fats in a lot of other areas of our health. Probably the most important one for cardiovascular disease, which gets talked about a lot in media, and doctors will tell you about that as well.
That is one point where we're kind of in line with conventional medicine, because it's everybody knows the harmful effects of trans fats. And they, in essence, create inflammation, which, like we talked about, can create those blockages. So being very diligent to not just look at the food label and see if trans fats says zero or not, but to read the ingredient list and stay away from anything that has hydrogenated oils or partially hydrogenated oils in the ingredient list.
Right. And also, I think what people need to know, too, is if you are consuming a lot of just processed fats,
yes,
maybe they might not be trans fats. But if you are, you know, a lot of packaged foods have processed fats in them, or if you use more of the vegetable oils and less canola, less olive oil, and, you know, try to avoid real butter, so use all the more processed spreads, those are going to create inflammation as well in your blood vessels.
Yeah. If you could see the processing that those oils go through, they are so damaged by the time they get into our system. Unless, like Christina said, you're choosing olive oil or shopping in the natural section for an unrefined canola oil.
Right. And when you eat a lot of trans fats and processed fats, your cholesterol is going to go up. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty strong correlation there. So for some people, by just removing trans fats and processed fats from their diet, they're able to reduce their cholesterol.
And oftentimes the HDL, or the good cholesterol, will go up when we eliminate those trans fats and damaged fats.
Which is oftentimes something that people have to work hard at.
Yep.
Well, it's time for us to take a break. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some other foods and some other risk factors to really identify that, and things that you can change. So despite all the research and study that goes into cardiovascular health, many people are still having heart attacks. Sudden cardiac arrest accounts for 310,000 deaths in America every year, or 850 a day, which, saying that,
that's
is surprising.
A lot.
More than those caused by breast cancer, lung cancer, stroke, and AIDS combined. So stay tuned to hear the ways that you can adjust your lifestyle to reduce the risk of having serious cardiovascular problems. And if you have any questions today, please give us a call at 651-641-1071.
Worried that your cholesterol is a little high? Has your doctor suggested that you take cholesterol medication or change your diet? If you've decided to change your eating, Nutritional Weight and Wellness has a proven plan to normalize cholesterol numbers. After helping hundreds of people raise their HDL good cholesterol, lower their LDL bad cholesterol, and reduce triglycerides, they're confident diet is the answer. Their diet is scientific. It creates the results you want. The nice thing about their plan is that it's not a starvation diet, and you don't have to eat tofu. You will be amazed how effective nutrition can be in normalizing cholesterol. Even better, there are no side effects. You may also discover other benefits from this approach, such as increased energy and better moods. If you are ready to commit to an eating plan to manage your cholesterol, give Nutritional Weight and Wellness a call at 651-699-3438 or go to weightandwellness.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienis, registered dietitian, and I'm here with Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist. And today, if you're just joining us, we're discussing the nutritional links to cardiovascular disease. And I have some more research to share with you, because Dara always likes to promote that we are science-based.
That's right.
A study published in the Hypertension Journal has found a link between women who experience preeclampsia during pregnancy, which, as many of you may know, is characterized by high blood pressure and protein found in the urine. They found a link between these women that have had preeclampsia and a future risk of cardiovascular problems. This particular study found that women who had previously had the preeclampsia were more sensitive to the risks of weight gain, insulin resistance, and atherosclerosis. I always have trouble with that word. It is.
Which I think is a great study. And not to say that women who have had that are doomed, but let you know that you need to be intentional. We did have a caller over the break who just didn't want to go on air, but we had a question about what borage oil is, and we can just answer that. Borage oil is an activated or usable form of an omega-6 fatty acid, and that is something, another anti-inflammatory nutrient. And the things that we tend to use the borage oil, and borage oil comes from borage seeds, for our skin issues such as acne, psoriasis, eczema, bumpy skin, people who have hormonal imbalances such as prostate problems, PMS, menopause, even sometimes it's good for people with asthma. So oftentimes when people have those issues, they really do benefit from the supplement. Otherwise, really working with their diet. Food sources tend to be difficult. They find the food that has the highest level is what?
Organ meats.
Yes.
And not me.
Not
I
too
won't
many people
be
are
those.
Eating those. If somebody makes them for me, I'll eat them. But yeah, Barb makes good liver and onions.
Liver, yep.
So otherwise, you know, the more grass-fed animal products you can get, the more you're going to get that in. So and reducing sugar, which interferes with those things, is great. Which can maybe lead us on to what we were going to talk about. Sugar
and inflammation. Exactly.
Right.
Sugar is not so great for a variety of reasons. But in regards to our topic today, sugar equals inflammation. Those high sugar foods or, you know, and just to step back a minute, I think sometimes you and I, Christine, it's sort of a duh factor that a good piece of whole wheat bread still turns to sugar in your system. But sometimes we need to explain that to people because people get it that a donut or a piece of candy is sugar. But it's also the good whole wheat bread. It's also, you know, the whole wheat pasta. It's the fruits. It's the starchy vegetables. Not to say we're saying never eat those things, but just to know those are things that turn to sugar. And so to be moderate in your consumption of those things.
Right. And to balance. And that's where, you know, we always talk about balance, eating some good protein and healthy fats with those carbs. Then it's going to turn to sugar a lot slower and use the more good vegetables. And, you know, there is research that shows people who do eat those foods and they talk about glycemic index, glycemic load, which, you know, came out a number of years ago, which are basically foods that turn to sugar quickly in your body. Foods that are high sugar, there is a direct correlation between high C-reactive protein, which Cassie was talking about earlier, that blood test.
Which basically is just saying, okay, you have inflammation in your body.
Right. So if you're eating a bowl of cereal and a big glass of orange juice for breakfast.
And putting skim milk on top of your cereal.
And that's it. You are probably increasing your C-reactive protein and causing more inflammation, which can put your blood vessels at risk. You know, if you eat popcorn at night or for your lunch, you know, that also is going to be a problem.
Absolutely. And insulin resistance, you're more likely to become insulin resistant if you're eating these high sugar foods frequently, and that is directly going to affect the health of your blood vessels.
Right, because it puts more stress on your blood vessels. And Dar and I, a couple weeks ago, talked a lot about insulin resistance and just how that high processed carb foods over long periods of time makes those insulin receptors crusty, so you can't process sugar very well, and it just stays in your bloodstream and get stored as fat.
I often think of it, again, being a very simple person and very visual, I think of it as, okay, you have bombarded your system with all this sugar over the years that finally those muscle cells are just sick of you knocking on the door wanting to get let in. And they say, forget it, I'm not opening up my doors. So the sugar stays circulating in your bloodstream, and then we release so much insulin. And doesn't a lot of research point to the fact that maybe it's a lot of that insulin, not necessarily the high sugar, but now we have high insulin, and high insulin in and of itself is damaging our blood vessels.
Insulin is very much an underlying cause of very many health issues, especially your cardiovascular system.
Very powerful
hormone. Which is why diabetics are at such a greater risk of heart disease.
Right.
So, and also, you know, again, watching for that high fructose corn syrup. And I know Gary Tobbs, who wrote Good Calories, Bad Calories, was on about a month or two ago and talking about how our body processes that fructose. It goes through the liver, and then the liver produces more cholesterol.
So it's almost like it is the fuel our body needs, or the ingredient our body needs to raise our cholesterol levels.
Right.
And it is so hard to stay away from if you're buying processed foods.
Yes.
Start reading labels. It's in almost everything.
Yep.
So if you can just stick to mostly fruits and vegetables, you know, the meats and the cheeses, and eat food in its natural state as much as possible. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to stay away from that high fructose corn syrup.
Right. And, you know, the thing to watch for, especially with your how much carbs you're eating, is your triglycerides. Oftentimes, a first marker, even before cholesterol pops up, that you're putting yourself at risk. And you get high triglycerides when you eat too much carbohydrates, because that's how your body stores them.
It's that simple.
And I found, when I was looking through some information from a speaker who's an expert, Mark Houston from Texas, and he just said, as your triglycerides rise, your HDL, your more productive cholesterol, is going to fall. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
So that would be an easy way to get that HDL or that good cholesterol back up, is to reduce your carbs.
All right. Well, it looks like we can maybe take a caller before we go to a break. Hi, Noemia, right?
Yes.
Hi, welcome to the show. What was your question for us today?
Yes, thank you. My question is, you guys, you know, I'm recommending pretty much, you know, switch from skim milk to like 2% or the whole milk. And my question is that is some studies, or I got a Nutrition Action magazine. I don't know if you guys heard of it. And what they're saying is that they're just concerned with the natural trans fat in those milk products, and that skim milk doesn't have that. So they're recommending skim milk because it has less trans fat. I just would like to kind of know your opinion on it, since you guys recommend the whole milk product.
Sure. There are naturally occurring trans fats in animal fats. Mm-hmm. They are different than the man-made trans fats. Exactly. I think that's important to remember. Things that occur naturally, usually our body can recognize and metabolize better. But it's still more natural, you know, it's still a natural food to have those animal fats. If you look in a lot of other countries where that's all they have, they don't have the reduced fats, like France, and they have much less heart disease than we do here. I will say that sometimes some individuals need less of that than others. And that's something that I sometimes work more on an individual basis. We don't think that people should be drinking lots and lots of dairy products.
Exactly, right. That might be the problem in and of itself.
Right. And some people shouldn't have any dairy at all, but that really depends on the individual. So we do recommend the regular fat, but also watching how much you have is important. Mm-hmm. Maybe just a glass or two a day is all people need, you know. Mm-hmm. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay.
Another quick question. Sorry. And then again, I always kind of come back to this question about that Smart Balance stuff. Mm-hmm. Have you guys know anything about that? Is that better than butter or?
No.
No.
It's made with processed oils. So if you read the ingredients, I think
it'll have soybean oil, probably maybe some canola.
Vegetable.
I haven't read that one for a while. But
I know. But I remember when I've looked at it before, most of the oils that they're using to make it are pretty processed. Whereas if you get just real butter and use a little bit, you know, on your vegetables or to cook your eggs in, you're doing yourself much better. Yep. And if you can get it from a grass-fed source, it's so rich in nutrients.
Right.
So.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Yep.
It looks like it's time for a break. And when we come back, it looks like we've got another caller on the line. So while many people would not be surprised to hear that 1 in 4 men have some form of cardiovascular disease, they may be surprised that 1 in 4 women also have some form of cardiovascular disease. Coronary heart disease takes the lives of more than 500,000 women each year and is the number one killer of women over the age of 25. So 1 in 2.5 women, which is always funny when you're talking about people and saying halves, but 1 in 2.5 women die from the effects of heart disease or stroke, compared to 1 in 30 from breast cancer. So it's important to look at your whole health. And women who suffer from heart attacks are much more likely to die than men. But it is good that more efforts really are being taken now to be more proactive for women and their heart health. And, you know, we really find that many women are able to take control of their heart health by sitting down individually with a licensed nutritionist. So, you know, if you are someone who is at risk and really needs some help putting a plan together, give our office a call at 651-699-3438. Or if you have more questions today, call us at 651-641-1071.
I found the pieces in my hand. They were always there. It just took some time for me to understand.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienus, registered dietitian. I'm here with Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist. Couple of classes I want to let listeners know about. If you're interested in learning how our nutritional strategies can really help you provide the foundation for cardiovascular health in more detail than we're going to be able to provide here today, you could attend one of our you could attend one of our evening classes this summer that we're offering. For example, we have a Managing Your Insulin Resistance and Blood Sugar that I will be teaching actually in July at our Wayzata office. And then in August, that same class is being taught at our White Bear Lake office. Also on July 10th, we'll be teaching Gut Reaction, Restore Your Digestive Health Through Nutrition. And that's going to be in South St. Paul. So if you want more information, see our website at www.weightandwellness.com. That's all one word, weightandwellness.com. You can see all of our summer classes listed on the website. There's a lot of different topics, or you can call Lucy today at 651-699-3438 to help find a class that fits your needs.
All right, got some great classes this summer. So it looks like we've got some callers on the line, so why don't we go ahead and talk with Kathy. Hi, Kathy. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
My question is, my husband went into his heart specialist, and his cholesterol was just not enough, not high enough to be a problem, but we don't want it to get to be a problem.
Right.
Anyway, he suggested, if you're going to use oil, he suggested peanut oil. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that. We don't fry a lot of foods, but, you know, when we do, is that a good oil?
Peanut oil has a higher smoke point, so that just means it can withstand higher temperatures before it breaks down versus olive oil, for example, or some of the other vegetable oils.
Okay.
So I think you're along the right train of thought to not fry foods very often.
Right.
But if you're going to cook something at a higher temperature, to use a peanut oil instead of an olive oil is a good choice. But I would look more in the natural food section and find a cold pressed peanut oil, which basically just means it hasn't went through all the processing that that makes it a damaged oil, like we were kind of talking about damaged oils earlier.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you for the question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always tell people, you know, because I do cook over the stove a lot, or not a lot, but, you know, like stir fries and things like that, and I never go over medium heat, you know, and if I am using olive oil, or I do use peanut oil or sesame oil, cold-pressed ones. Coconut oil actually is another very good one for
high
heat.
That can withstand a high heat. Yep.
All right. Looks like we've got Deborah. Hi, Deborah. Welcome to the show.
Yes.
Hi. You had a question about cholesterol?
Yes, I do. My question is that one of the things that I have is I have high cholesterol. I have genetic. My father passed away from a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And my cholesterol level is pretty high. But also, I have issue with hypothyroid.
Okay.
And I'm treating both. I mean, I've tried with diet, now I'm on Lipitor, and then I have a hypothyroid drug as well. But in talking to my doctor, he stated that there's some correlation with high cholesterol and hypothyroid. And I was wondering your thoughts on that.
Okay. I don't know if I've read
what to do with that.
Right. I don't know if I've read anything that tells a direct correlation.
Uh-huh.
I do know that both are forms of inflammation. So I often, you know, look at that, fish oils, omega-3s, getting those in your diet. Also, well, your thyroid is very sensitive to a lot of different things going on in your body. And maybe it has to do with insulin levels in your body, too, because if you're eating too many processed carbs for what your body can handle, that insulin's going to affect your cholesterol, and it will also affect your thyroid hormone, because your thyroid is very sensitive to insulin. So that may be a correlation there, too. So again, really focusing on getting real whole foods in and balance, keeping your blood sugar balanced should benefit both issues.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Yes. Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
All right. It looks like I think we still have time for another caller. Looks like we've got Sharon. Hi, Sharon. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm questioning spider veins. I have a problem with that. Getting an ever-increasing problem with it. And I'm wondering if the same thing goes on internally, like if the heart has the same type condition as what you see on the legs. Also, if there's a supplement that can be taken to help that problem.
Yes. Spider veins, you know, we've never read anything correlating spider veins with heart health. I can see where your thinking is going, and that's an interesting thought there to ponder. But what we do know is that vitamin C can help with spider veins, because vitamin C helps produce collagen, which repairs those small blood vessels.
Mm-hmm.
And vitamin C is a beneficial antioxidant to be taking if you do have heart health issues or you have a history of heart disease. So I think by addressing one, if there is some issues with your heart health, you'll be addressing that in a sense as well. So I would recommend a high dose of vitamin C. And Christina, you might have a better handle on sort of what, how many milligrams with that?
You could probably do anywhere from 3,000 to 5,000 a day unless you get loose stools.
Okay. So, yeah, it's kind of self-regulating. If you start to tend towards diarrhea, then you just kind of cut back till you find that happy place.
Right.
Would the vitamin C affect the stomach as far like GERD's problem with that?
Yeah, you'd have to be careful. And some vitamin C's are a little bit more acidic than others, so you'd probably want to have one that's more gentle and less acidic.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for calling.
All right.
And it's time for break again. So, you know, like many people today, you may be looking for ways to make changes in the way you spend your money. I know things are a little tighter at our house. And, you know, when it comes to your food budget, it can be really difficult. And the cost of food is rising along with many other necessities.
Yes.
And but you still want to eat healthy. So in the summer, it's a great time to visit the farmers market. And that's a way that you can often get your vegetables at a greatly reduced price. They're fresh and local. A lot of times you can find the organic ones there. Little going to be higher in antioxidants usually when they're fresh. And it also can give you an opportunity to get a better price on grass-fed meat and eggs and dairy. So if you have more questions about cardiovascular health, give us a call at 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienis, registered dietitian. I'm here with Christina Swigert, licensed nutritionist. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about cardiovascular health. We've talked about the frequency of cardiovascular disease in both men and women. And I think most people probably know that there's a lot of people out there that suffer from sleep disorders, and maybe you're one of them if you're listening. But did you know that cardiovascular disease and sleep disorders are often connected? I thought this was really interesting. One in three people with high blood pressure also suffer from sleep apnea. And cardiovascular disease is believed to be strongly related to sleep disorders. Now, we know that having balanced blood sugars, even overnight, and if you take somewhere between 400 and 600 milligrams of magnesium glycinate, both of these things are beneficial for both cardiovascular health and sleep disorders.
Very interesting.
Yes.
And we have a couple callers, but just before we get to that, we really wanted to make sure today we talked about a new research article that just came out, again, confirming the correlation between vitamin D and cardiovascular health. Mm-hmm. And just more generally, they found that patients with the lowest blood levels of vitamin D were about 2 times more likely to die from any cause during the next 8 years than those with the highest levels. And they found the link with heart-related deaths was particularly strong in those with low vitamin D.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? I mean, we talk more and more at the office about vitamin D and its link to so many different health conditions, but yeah, specifically to heart health.
Yeah, it's not just for your bones. Your body uses it for heart, to prevent cancer, autoimmune diseases. So,
and that's an easy one to fix. That's the good news. I mean, either get out in the sun for a little bit without some sunscreen, or simply take a vitamin D supplement.
Right. And it's interesting, they had people in the normal range had 28 in the study, and we like to see people around 50. So it would be amazing if that's what the levels were, the difference is.
The difference in, right.
Right.
Mortality.
So let's go to the phone here and talk with Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
What was your question today?
Oh, it's perfect timing for me to be talking with you. The question I have is, it's been recommended to be more aggressive with preventative care if you're at a risk or moderate risk for heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the tests that was recommended was to have a blood sample taken and for that blood sample to go to this laboratory where they would actually do an MRI of your blood, looking close at the particle level, measuring, and this is where this aggressive preventative cardiologist was recommending, measuring your lipid particle levels.
Right.
And I was wondering if this was something that you would encourage moderate at-risk patients to go ahead and seek out a preventative cardiologist to have this test done.
I think that's great. And yeah, that was something that we were going to bring up today if we had time, is getting, you know, because we usually just get the HDL, LDL, which only tells us so much. But what you're talking about is testing the particle size, usually of LDL. Sometimes you can even do it of HDL.
Right. This laboratory does HDL and LDL, giving the cardiologist much more information than
And then you can even know what more you need to focus in on. If your LDLs are small, they are much more easily oxidized, meaning that they can cause a lot more damage in your blood vessels as a free radical versus if you have big particles.
Oh, okay.
So those are less likely to be oxidized, can just kind of flow through and not cause as many problems. So for people who can do that, and I would add, the more people that ask, I think the more, hopefully, people can do that more readily.
Right.
So,
well, I'm glad that's something that you would be supportive of.
Yeah.
I was excited to hear that there's something else we can do.
Right. Yep. Well, you thanks know, for calling.
And I All think right. just popping into my head here is she's talking about running more tests. I think, you know, back to that vitamin D thing, we need to stress if you,
yeah.
you are at risk or you have a family history or whatever to have your vitamin D levels tested. And more and
right.
more doctors are doing it. And again, as Christina said, we really feel you should have a number of at least 50. So a little bit
right.
different than what a traditional medical doctor would recommend. But more
right.
is better in this case in your blood levels.
Right. Maybe we can squeeze in one more caller real quick here. Hi, Doris. What's your question for us today? Doris?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I just recently discovered your program. It's very interesting, especially
Good.
Today.
Great.
My question sidetracks a bit.
That's all right.
Foods are inflammatory for people who have severe arthritis.
Sure.
In the ARC magazine, should never touch red meat. I rarely don't, but what should we stay away from?
Definitely, like we've been talking, the same things that are inflammatory for your blood vessels are going to be inflammatory for your joints.
Yep.
So watching the more processed carbohydrates, a lot of times for people with a lot of severe arthritis do need to just cut out grains altogether. Not everybody, but a lot of times that's beneficial, and sometimes you need help. Grains, yep.
Yep.
And sometimes people need a little more direction with something like that, but at least the sugar and the processed fats. So eating lots of real whole foods, you know, and having some red meat isn't always necessarily a problem. Just making sure it's lean and hormone-free, and if you can get it from a grass-fed source, there's actually going to be lots of omega-3s in there that are anti-inflammatory.
And then staying away from those trans fats, too,
mm-hmm.
would be very good for the arthritis.
Yep. I think sugar is at the top of the list for mm-hmm. arthritis, though. All right?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, and I think we need to take a break. So, CoQ10 is a nutrient that is essential for good cardiovascular health, especially if you're on statin, but it also has many other benefits for health. Because it works as an antioxidant, it can be very effective in cancer treatment, and some studies have shown that it naturally enhances the body's immune system in its fight against cancer, and there's actually some more research right now that's being done to see if the benefit of CoQ10 would be helpful in preventing heart damage that can occur with chemotherapy. So another benefit of CoQ10,
yeah.
And we'll be back in a minute.
Is it time you found a new approach to an old health problem? Nutritional Weight and Wellness offers classes and consultations to address everything from weight loss to diabetes to depression. Just choose the format and location that best meets your needs. You can count on a warm reception and sound nutritional advice from their caring, committed staff. First, envision taking a class with a group of people who are also health-minded as you learn to eat in a way that makes you feel better today and builds a foundation for a healthier tomorrow. Next, imagine that you're meeting individually with a nutritionist to discuss your health concerns. You leave with a personalized eating plan that fits your lifestyle and strategies to implement it. Now, don't you feel good about having made this investment in yourself? Nutritional Weight and Wellness invites you to call them at 651-699-3438. Offices conveniently located in St. Paul, Wyzetta, and White Bear Lake.
Call Nutritional Weight and Wellness today, 651-699-3438. That's 651-699-3438.
My shoes, my toes are busted. My kitchen says my bread is molded. I got a good job.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Christina and I want to thank everyone for listening today. We only have a few minutes left. This hour always goes way too fast. But if you have questions that we haven't answered today and you can't get through to us within the next 5 minutes, feel free to call. I'm booked pretty solid with patients today, but I'll try to take your call if I get some free time at the office. So you can always call our office, 651-699-3438, with any unanswered questions and ask for the nutritionist. Or if it's not urgent that you need to know today, give us an email. And that is, it's email@weightandwellness.com, right,
yep.
Christina?
Yep.
So just email@weightandwellness.com is the address. And that will be given to one of us nutritionists, and we'll get back to you in a timely manner.
Yes. All right. Well, let's try and fit in one more caller here, and then we've got a couple things to close with. Hi, Julie. What's your question today?
Hi.
Hi.
I have another one since I was waiting, if you don't mind.
Oh, that's...
The first one is about the vitamin D. I wondered if you would explain what you're referring to when you say around 50. I don't understand the numbering.
Oh.
And then the other question is about, are there any tests that I can do for myself to monitor my heart health in addition to blood pressure?
Okay. With vitamin D, I don't off the top of my head know the exact measurements, but all labs, I think, are the same in the measuring that they give you. And usually there's a range. I think they say normal is between 30 and or even 20 or 30 and
28.
Yeah, well, that was that study. But usually like from a lab, you'll get normals as low as 20 or 30 up to like 60 or something. We like to see people between 50 and 75. So in the measurement that they give you. So they'll give you a number when you get the blood test and you want to see that number between 50 and 75 usually.
Okay.
And other tests, like we've talked about, you know, the blood pressure, it is good to get your cholesterol tested if you can do the particle size, like that other caller was saying.
Excuse me? I'm really asking about things I can do for myself.
Oh, for yourself. Oh, I thought you said other tests.
The other tests
okay.
that I can do at home,
tests
you know?
Tests that you can do. Do you know that you have high cholesterol?
Are you saying just more like heart rate and things like that?
General heart health. Yeah.
Okay.
I know I can do blood pressure.
Right. I mean, I think then just other things like heart rates, making sure your heart's not racing. Otherwise, you know, target heart rate when you're exercising are things to look at and figure out. And I think there's a lot of websites that can help you with that. Otherwise, at home, just really eating well.
Yeah, yeah, just being intentional
if
about
else
the
comes to your mind.
Foods that you're putting in your mouth and getting some regular exercise and then a yearly exam, certainly.
Yeah, a lot of the more blood and heart health tests are things that have to be done with blood work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, good question, though.
Do you have a correlation between blood sugar and blood pressure?
Yes. High blood sugar and insulin are going to stiffen up your blood vessels and increase your blood pressure.
Okay.
So
I might see that at home even on my...
Right. Blood sugar, yeah, would be another thing to keep monitored, which you can do that at home if
yeah.
you have a monitor.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Well, just in the last couple of minutes here, we've talked a little bit about a couple of supplements because I know a lot of times people have questions and... Supplements are something that you can definitely incorporate to really help with managing your heart health. And
mm-hmm.
it's a preventative thing that you can use often instead of medications.
Right. Right. And we kind of mentioned vitamin C already. That helps the integrity of the blood vessel walls. So that is a good one to take. Vitamin D we talked about. And we really think between 2,000 and 5,000 international units IUs. That's
right.
just the measure that they use a day. Is a good amount.
Right. Especially if your levels are low, it takes a while to get them up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in the summer, sometimes I decrease people what they're taking a
right.
little bit, but it all depends on if there's somebody who's come in with low numbers, then I don't usually decrease it
yeah,
a whole lot.
We have some work to do, right?
Right.
Right. What are some other ones, Christina?
I mentioned going into a break is CoQ10.
Right.
And the thing I want to say about that, and I kind of mentioned it, is if you are on a statin drug like Lipitor, and there's a number of other ones, you need to be taking CoQ10 because when you're on those statins in the process of reducing your cholesterol, it stops your body from making CoQ10.
And it's a powerful antioxidant
yes.
that helps protect our heart.
Yes. And it's the natural nutrient that your muscles and your heart use for energy. So a lot
right.
of times people end up getting like heart defibrillations where their heartbeat isn't beating the right way and it's more irregular. And when they get put on 100 to 200 milligrams of CoQ10 every day, it goes away. They went off of it and they came back. So it's real important and for the electrical impulses in your heart, things like that.
Magnesium glycinate, another
yes.
one. Did we mention that one today? I don't remember. That one is correlated with heart health.
Yes, and really good for reducing blood pressure.
Right.
A key thing because your heart's a
it
muscle.
Helps relax.
Yep.
Relax those blood
and
vessel
your blood
walls.
Vessels too. And then, of course, omega-3s are usually at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
And with something like that, you want to make sure that it's coming from a good source.
Right, or you can get some contamination in
yeah.
there, just as you can if you're eating too many of
yeah.
the wrong fish.
And anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 milligrams of fish oil a day. And that's something, if you have heart disease in your family, I would say is a no-brainer. Just take it even if you're not, don't seem to have other risk factors as of yet.
Right. There's so many health benefits with omega-3s. Why not?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much for listening today. Have a great rest of the weekend. And remember, as we always say, food can either be your problem or it can be your solution. Have a great day.
Life, I love you. all is groovy.